News Radio KMAN's In Focus on a Thursday morning, just past the bottom of the hour. Coming up, of course, at the top of the hour, we send things over to the Ramsey Network and get some thoughts on jobs and the like. Hope that you'll stay with us through the day. Of course, Dan Patrick later this afternoon. But right now, our conversation is about what's taking place in business around the city and area, as we're joined by the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Jason Smith for his monthly visit with us here on In Focus. And Dave Lewis had a question.
Yeah, Jason, this is kind of driven from some of the comments that I've seen, like on various social media, about new businesses or new entities coming into town. And whenever a new business is announced that they're coming to town, it seems to blow up some of these groups, like I'm from Manhattan, whatever. And everybody seems to feel like, why is the city bringing in this company? And a lot of people need to realize that it's not necessarily, or ever really, unless it's like a redevelopment effort, the city bringing a company in from the city government's perspective. That's a chamber relationship issue. And I wanted to see if you could give some clarification on that process.
Yeah, so we have, I mean, every community has a different strategy, right? We have here in Manhattan, we focus our economic development efforts on what we call primary employers. So those are employers and businesses, but sometimes could be government, but those are employers who primarily sell products or services outside of Manhattan. So all the money that's being paid to their employees is new money into the Manhattan economy. We do not have, as a community, we do not have a specific effort on attracting new retail. Because generally, unless it's a destination retailer like a Bass Pro or somebody like that, generally new retail only circulates money, only takes money from one store to another store. Now, having said that, we want a community that's welcoming to invest, to private investment, to new jobs and to new business. But we don't target retailers for location. I think there have been times in the history of our economic development program where we may have targeted some who were very specific and were ones that the community was interested in trying to attract. I would also say we probably, and I wasn't here at the time, but we probably participated some in trying to attract new retailers when we did downtown redevelopment. But as a general rule, we want primary employers. So when a new retailer comes in, while we help celebrate that because we like the fact that a private business will invest in our community and hire local people and pay local property tax, and so we celebrate that, but we don't necessarily target a new retailer to come in. Neither does the city. That is a market decision made by that particular retailer. Same reason why when somebody says we need to have X business here, and 9 times out of 10, we'd love to have them too. But they have a model that they look at, and whether it's population or whether it's income or whether it's, you know, growth, those, whatever metric it is they use, we haven't hit that metric. And so there's really not a lot of opportunity to recruit a new retailer. They're usually very committed to their own data and how they believe that their business will survive based on population, incomes, whatever metric they're using at that moment. So, for instance, the ones businesses we talked about today, we were very active in trying to bring in BevHub. BevHub is a company that will bottle beverages, 99.9% of which will be sold across the region, across the country. And those individuals that work for BevHub will be paid by those funds that are brought into Manhattan. That's all new dollars. So that grows the economy. Certain retailers will open, and then while we're excited they're investing, their business is being taken by other points in the community. And so that may or may not necessarily drive economic growth in the region. Doesn't mean that we understand that those things impact quality of life, and that's an important part of this process too. But as a general rule, we only work at attracting our targeted industries, which are almost 100% primary employers.
And isn't it fair to assume that the city's responsibility is to make sure that the proper zoning and infrastructure is attained?
I mean, that is one of their and utilities. That's one of their primary functions. I will tell you, as part of this city strategic planning effort, we have been very adamant in with the consultants, as we visited with the consultants, and our members are very interested in making sure that the city is making the appropriate investments to allow for growth. There are a number of quality of life things in this community that we love, and there's a number of others that we'd love to see. None of those are able to be paid for if the economy doesn't grow. When economic growth generates new tax revenues without necessarily putting additional tax burden on the existing residents. And so we need to see growth in jobs, we need to see growth in incomes, and we need to see growth in population. And it is important for the governing bodies of a community, whether it's the city, county, schools, whatever, to make sure that they are, and I'm going to use a term here, open for business, and have the capacity to allow for that growth. If we don't have the capacity to add residents, we won't add jobs. That's just the way it is. And if we don't add jobs, we won't add new citizens. And when we don't add new citizens, we don't get new retail, and we don't get more shopping and people spending more money, then the tax receipts, which we've seen the last several years, are going to be stagnant, if not decline. We've got numbers that show since 2012, our job and population growth has been stagnant. So every year when you look at the city commission and the county commission, and they're trying to figure out how to maintain the services that we have now without raising taxes, it becomes very difficult because the tax receipts are flat or down in some cases. So to answer your question, I know it was a long answer, Dave. Yes, there are certain obligations and zoning and infrastructure and making sure that the community's planned appropriately and make sure that we're accounting for flooding and all the things that are important to keeping a community moving are important, but we also think planning for the appropriate infrastructure to allow for this community to grow is very important for a community as well.
When you look at infrastructure, and it has been a word that has been thrown around so much because of what's going on right now in Washington, D.C., but that infrastructure includes housing. It includes internet capabilities. It includes so many things, I think, that people don't even really take into consideration in some ways about infrastructure being in place.
Yeah, I mean, there's a debate right now about the definition of infrastructure, and I don't necessarily want to get into that, but those things that you talked about are all significantly important. And we, I think everybody remembers last fall, this community passed an economic development sales tax initiative, and part of that initiative dedicates a certain amount of funding for housing, because we understand that this community, it struggles with quote unquote workforce housing. And that makes it a challenge for companies to retain and attract new workers. And then for those workers to be able to pay their bills and have a quality of life that I think we all expect in Manhattan. We are one of the most, I don't remember the exact term, but based on the amount of income to cover housing costs, Manhattan is one of the highest in the region, and certainly higher than our Kansas peers and higher even than our regional university communities. And that's a challenge that I think as a community we need to address. And so we were very happy that the commission had the foresight to add workforce housing to that economic development tax initiative last fall. We're very supportive of the housing study that the city commission is about to undertake, because we think if you don't have the data, it's hard to decide. It's hard to think about what investments you need to make. And we are going to be very strong in our support of workforce housing initiatives, using those funds, and how do we leverage the amount that we're generating from the tax to attract more private investment, create more supply so that individuals have choices and have good choices, and hopefully be able to have more money at the end, after they've paid their bills, to enjoy Manhattan's quality of life.
Something that comes to mind as we talk about the attracting of businesses to Manhattan and the work done by the Chamber of Commerce. We've got plenty of discussion going on right now around the community about the potential for a new art museum going into place, the Museum of Art and Light, already being discussed at the city level because of the fact that they need to make moves related to the STAR bonds through the state of Kansas, but you have it as a private entity otherwise. Your thoughts with the art museum and what it means as a way of attracting people to Manhattan?
Yeah. Well, of all the, I think most people who follow this know the chamber is in full support of the art museum that was presented by the DeBryans and other interested parties, and we want to thank the DeBryans for their leadership on this, their philanthropy, which is the commitment that they've placed as part of this project. It is a unique opportunity and one that we think should definitely be explored to its fullest extent. I think from a chamber standpoint, we also help manage the Convention Visitors Bureau, and I know Karen and her team are very excited about that as another selling point as they try to attract conventions and conferences. And one of the key elements of that is what are some offsite venues that we can have dinners or receptions, or what are some things in the community that spouses can do if they're traveling with their significant other, or what is it that, what are some other things that convention attendees can do? And so that'll be a huge selling point as part of that effort. But on the economic development side, I think it creates just an enormous buzz in this community and is something that we can use to facilitate retaining, attracting young people, young talented individuals, whether that's people who work in a manufacturing setting, or whether it's people who work for Civic Plus or whatever. I think that what we see in all the surveys about how young people choose where they live, that cultural amenities is a big piece of that, and it's something that they consider very strongly. There's obviously some things that need to be worked out as part of the museum process, but we think that it's definitely something that, as a community, when you have the opportunity to get a new facility like that, a world-class facility, that basically no cost to the community. There is a small cost based on the local collections and the STAR bonds, but the money that from the state portion, which is the majority of it, if we didn't have a project like this, would just go back to the state and would not be repurposed for anything else in Manhattan. So we can keep the $23 million that we'd otherwise lose, invest in a quality of life initiative here, and then with the amount that the private donors have committed to making sure that operates, at no long-term liability to the city. I just think it's something that is incredibly exciting, and our board voted to support, and we will continue to, barring an unforeseen situation. So I just want to again publicly thank the DeBryans for their leadership on this, as well as some of their other partners in that project.
One of the things that I find interesting, and you brought up, that young people moving to a community do look for amenities as a part of their planning for a community. There are also plenty of people in a community, though, that would argue that some things aren't necessary in the community. And I see some of that in the debate over whether this museum should go forward or not. How do you convince those people that it's an area for growth in the city?
Yeah, I mean, we all have our opinions on things, and I certainly respect some of the alternate viewpoints that have been expressed on this project. I think this would be a much more difficult debate if any organizing group came to the city and said, "Hey, we have this idea. All you have to do is invest $20 million of city funds." And you know, at that point, I think the debate changes, because I think the funds that we have in this community are limited already. I mean, we know the challenges we had, particularly as it relates to parks and recreation and some of the other things. And so in this scenario, as I mentioned previously, you have $23 million that, and quite frankly, is the reason that money is there is because we were so successful with the downtown redevelopment that we're paying these star bonds off early. That money is going to go back to the state, and we would not have that opportunity to spend it on anything in Manhattan. And so at the end of the day, and again, I know there's a $700,000 or something like that, because you have to continue to collect the local tax. So I'm not ignoring that isn't there. But at the end of the day, you're going to get a close to a $50 million project that, in terms of city investment, city taxpayer investment, or county taxpayer investment, is very negligible. And so you just don't get those kind of opportunities very often. And so I would encourage people who may be on the opposite side of that just to consider that as part of that discussion. I respect that viewpoint. We have a lot of needs in this community, but we can't repurpose this particular money to take care of those needs. This particular money would only be available for this project.
We've got more with CEO, President and CEO of the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce, Jason Smith, when we continue in a moment. Back for one final segment on this Thursday edition of In Focus on News Radio KMAN.